You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to learn how to use the Little House on the Prairie to filter your healthy food choices. Said differently, you're about to get a really rad breakdown on how to eat real frickin' food. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. I am pumped that one of my favorite plant party products on the planet is sponsoring this episode. If you know me but at all, or have spent but a few seconds skimming my Instagram or my recipes, you'll know that Sun Warrior Plant Protein Powder is the Kanye to my West, the bees to my knees, the Wilson to my castaway. Okay, it's a product I wouldn't want to live without. Are you looking for a way to make your smoothies actually fill you up so you don't need a follow-up snack a few minutes after finishing your smoothie? Blend in Sun Warrior. Do you not want to get bloated, gassy, or feel crappy after consuming protein powder? Switch to Sun Warrior. Are you not a fan of protein powders with weird, chalky textures and nasty flavors? Use Sun Warrior. There is a reason I blend Sun Warrior protein powder into every smoothie I make and bake it into every baked good I bake. And that reason is, well, there are many reasons. So head to the show notes at partyinmyplants.com/41 to read all about the many reasons and to find out how you can get started with Sun Warrior. My guest today really makes healthy eating seem really simple, which is really good because her business is called Simply Real Health. Sarah Adler is a real food lover to the core, and she's really passionate about helping others love and eat real food with ease. She's a rock star nutrition coach, author of a beautiful cookbook, which I really did end up buying after this interview, and just a really lovely, inspiring, real human being. I'm really happy I got to sit down with a person whose every Instagram post makes me smile and crave something planty and kind of want to up and move to Seattle. I'm also really proud of myself for achieving my goal of using a form of the word real in every sentence of this introduction. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I am more excited that you're here because, you know, okay, so I know that a doppelganger refers to somebody that looks like you but isn't you. But let me tell you, if a doppelganger meant a person that writes and thinks like you but isn't you, we would totally be doppelgangers of one another. Because awesome. When I read your programs and your posts and stuff, we are 100% on the same page because you're also all about helping people eat healthier without it destroying or taking over their life and helping people eat healthier while doing fun things like traveling and eating out and drinking wine. And it's just so great to connect with somebody who feels the exact same way. So, I mean, without me putting words in your mouth, you tell me what it is that you love to help people do.
Yes. So I started my business about almost 5 years ago now. And I started it because I realized so many people were just confused about what healthy actually meant. And like in this day and age, there are like literally thousands of different diets. There's thousands of different opinions and it changes every single day. Mm-hmm. And so I started noticing that people were like, just confused. And they were just like running after whatever was the latest trend or the latest fad or like constantly chasing this like nebulous thing of a healthy lifestyle. And what did that mean? And usually what it meant was being very sort of rigid and very extreme and very by the book and by all these different rules. And again, you know, those rules would change at like every other week.
Yeah, depending on what's popular.
Yeah. And it would like send people into this kind of like tailspin and a little bit overwhelming. And then I would just see people like swing, like have these massive swings from like being really, really good and perfect on whatever diet they were doing. And then being really, really bad, like wanting to go out to happy hour and hang out with their girlfriends and like eat ice cream if that's what they wanted to do. And like not, you know, be afraid of eating chocolate. And so there was this just huge divide, I felt like, of like, nobody is talking about how to eat and be healthy in a way that you have tons of energy and you feel awesome most days and your mood's good, like you are super productive during the day. Like those are all the benefits of eating really well, taking care of yourself, but then also having this second piece of like enjoying your life and being able to like eat and drink and do things that help you participate in life and are not things that you're like, oh shoot, I have to pause my diet, you know, just so I can go out to dinner and like, oh, I'll start over again tomorrow or I'll start over again on Monday. And giving people a way to think about it, like living in the land of gray instead of black and white with so many rules, or being like sort of off the wagon.
I love all these metaphors.
You know, being like a little like crazy, like, oh, just screw it. Like, I'm just going to eat a donut because what does it matter? I'm already off the plan or whatever.
Totally.
So finding that like happy space in the middle, and that is what my business, Simply Real Health, is all about, is like actually talking about what life in the gray zone looks like, and the balance of those two things of celebrating and enjoying life and all its beauty and all its pleasure and all the, you know, like amazing things that food does revolve around, balanced with like, well, not every day is like this crazy party celebration. So what does that actually look like all the other times of the day when you're not out with friends or you're not on a trip or you're not? So it's the blend of both things. And that's really like, that's what I love talking about the most. I love teaching about it the most. It's just, I get so fired up being able to help people see you don't have to be so extreme in either way.
Yes. I love that. The gray, the land of gray, the space of gray. That's 50 shades of gray. Now,
I know.
No, that's awesome. And that's, I mean, that's in so many words what I firmly believe in, which is that healthy and happy don't have to be mutually exclusive. You know, you can still drink wine and drink green smoothies and be a healthy person. So we're totally on the same page. And I'm wondering, because you're really into helping people have a healthy lifestyle, not just a healthy diet. So I'm curious what you think the components of a healthy lifestyle are that extend beyond just what people stick their forks into.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the big pieces that people don't really often think about is just all across the board, just knowing yourself really well. So instead of listening to so many external factors like advice and tips and different diets and you should do this and your friends doing that, of like starting to actually tune in and pay attention to like, no, like, what does my body do best with? Like, how do I function best? And that includes things like your personality, right? Like even some of those personality tests can be super helpful in knowing how to harness your own energy, like set up your day in a way that's going to, you know, just gear you towards, you know, a more often chance of success and more often chance of energy. So that's a huge thing.
I
think just overall, you know, confidence and knowing who you are so that you can really embrace all of those things and set your life up in a way that supports, you know, your biggest strengths and doesn't try to fit you into a particular box of how everybody else is trying to do it or what everybody else is saying. So that's a huge one. And then, you know, along with like food, yes, like, so you have like the physical component, which is what you're eating, and then also your physical body, right? And working out
and
taking your movement, taking care of your body on that physical level. You know, there's an emotional level, which this is really like, when I am, you know, talking to people about food, I'm like, I start with food because it's the most, it's the topic
tangible
that everybody, yes, they think that that's what they need to fix.
Yeah, but give me the recipes. Give me all the recipes. I need a new recipe.
Yeah. And I'm like, honey, I'll give you all the recipes. Here it is. Yeah, I have a
in your cookbook.
You know, here we go. Like everything. But then they soon start to realize that, like, oh, it's actually, there's so much more that happens below the surface. So with our emotions and how we deal with stress, there's a whole mental like component of how you talk to yourself, right? Like your attitude, your emotions, how you sort of process through life is all related to how healthy or how unhealthy you are. It's not just in the physical sense of just about food. So I think it's trying to get people to be cool with that conversation and that it doesn't freak them out to be like, you know, guess what? You do have a relationship to food. And if that piece is not like solid or you're still sort of figuring it out, you know, going down the pursuit of a healthy lifestyle is going to take you a whole lot longer than if you can just start to look into those different categories of like physical, mental, emotional, even spiritual, let's say, knowing yourself really well. I think that's really the key behind making an actual lifestyle change that's going to be sustainable and last forever and have, you know, all of these like gorgeous, fun components to it, but that the underlying foundation is really good. And I just think we don't talk about that underlying foundation very much. It's
absolutely
all about
the food
recipes. Yeah. And the food. Like, oh, what do you, I'm a, you know, vegan or I'm paleo or I'm, you know, pescatarian.
And the rules. Exactly. Yeah. Oh man, I love it. So tell me, I'm just so amped. I feel like I'm talking into a mirror. That doesn't make sense, but I just, we're so on the same page in that gray zone. So we, if we're on the same page, we are on the same page. Tell me, you know, we all have a story behind why we're so passionate about helping people with our unique perspective on healthy eating. Everyone has their story. So can you tell us your story about, you know, how you became someone who wanted to help others have a good and happy relationship with food?
Yes. I'll try not to like take a million hours.
Okay, please.
No.
I have other things
to
do. No,
I'm just kidding. I know. Yeah. So for me, I actually was just a strange child. Like I grew up and I think around the age of like 6 or 7 years old, I was like really into being healthy. Like I liked healthy food. I wanted to go to the grocery store. I know. Like,
is that a Seattle thing?
I think so. Well, both of my parents are from New York originally.
Oh, interesting.
So they moved out to Seattle before my sister and I were born. And yeah, they were definitely more on the hippie end of things.
Okay.
But back then, what they were thinking was healthy is actually, I look at it now and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe you guys did that. Like, I can't believe we ate that stuff. It's so processed or so weird that they thought it was healthy, you know,
like
it was
what?
Fat-free, you know, like fat-free everything. So we'd eat tons of pasta because it didn't have any fat.
Right.
And like, you know, and like it was high fiber, something, whatever the rule was at the time.
But yeah, it was all low fat growing up for me too.
Exactly. So there was, you know, I always had this interest. I think that was kind of there at birth. But as I got older, as we all do, like women and like girls, I went through middle school and then into high school. And my interest in like wanting to be healthy took almost like a bad turn somewhere along the line. And it started out very innocently of just wanting to learn as much as I could about food. Of like, I would read nutrition textbooks for fun. Like, I told you, like a freak child. I'm sure my parents were like a little concerned. I read every like diet book. I read everything I could get my hands on, like fitness magazines, health magazines, anything that I could.
Why?
To learn, because I wanted to be the healthiest version of myself. And I got really into, like
that's
working
fair.
Out and food. And I thought maybe I'd be a yoga teacher or maybe I would want to be a fitness instructor or, you know, it all came from a good place. But
okay.
I think as I got older and, you know, as you start to care, I think about what other people think of you and you start to become aware of your body and like you
boys.
Go through like changes and boys and that like by the time I got into high school, that like innocent sort of interest in food turned just darker and that I became obsessed with it. Like I became obsessed with following whatever book I was reading, like to the T, and always worried about like, well, was this healthy enough? And always like sort of mentally calculating depending on what I was doing that week. So sometimes it was about eating only really high protein. So I remember I lived on like, you know, the Clif bars for a while where I was really into those. And then I was into the Balance bars because they had more protein and more fat and they were supposed to be better. And then I would drink Propel water because it was supposed to have, like more electrolytes. And,
Propel. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, totally. So it was just one of those things that I became obsessed, like almost to the point where, you know, even when I got into college that I almost did not go to study abroad in Italy because I was so panicked about, you know, I had heard that there was only pizza and pasta and I didn't you know, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to
have to. It's not on my diet.
It's not on my diet.
I'm going to have to get Weight Watchers bars FedExed.
Exactly. So I'm like, what about all my food? And, you know, all my food was like this packaged health food, diet food. As I knew, you know, the calories, the components, the, you know, everything was much more felt like it was in my control. But it was when I went to Italy that I started realizing that, like, Italian women don't do any of that. And I remember one moment in particular, sitting at lunch, and like the rest of my girlfriends there on the trip were like just happily, like in heaven, like eating their pizza and drinking wine. And I was just like, couldn't enjoy it. I just was thinking about, okay, how do I just only eat half of this pizza? And how do I, you know, where am I going to go running tomorrow, the next day? It just like a preoccupation. Like it took up so much of my headspace just thinking food and trying to be healthy. And I never really had that much to show for it. So I remember watching this woman, this Italian woman, like sitting next to me, and she was just so calm and so like present with her girlfriend that she was sitting there with. And they were laughing and they were enjoying, and she was eating pasta and drinking wine and they had dessert, and she didn't leave half of it on her plate or like ask the waiter to take it
away.
I was like, she has no American lady panic. You know, you could just kind of like the panic and the thoughts and the things, and you're like not actually there because you're so consumed.
You're thinking about what Dr. Oz said the other day.
Yeah, exactly.
No offense, so, Dr. Oz.
Totally. So, you know, it was just one of those moments in life where I was like, I don't think I have ever had a meal like that before, ever, where I was calm and like happy and content and fully present where I was. And so that was a huge like awakening moment for me. And that was the point when I started being like, okay, I would much rather live like that. Yeah. Honestly, that sounds great. I would love to be able to eat, you know, they do, and looks like such a better life. But I remember I was like, okay, must be about the food. So in Italy, they don't have processed food. They just don't. They cook everything from scratch. They go to the store every day. So I was like, okay, it must be about this food thing. So I, you know, started learning more about just real food and unprocessed food. And that sort of started my journey into like, wow, real food and unprocessed food and looking at the world in terms of that being healthy. It made everything else that I had learned before like totally backwards and wrong.
Yeah.
And I cannot believe, and it made more sense. Like when I looked at it in real food, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Your body can digest it better.
Yeah.
So you're being less mean on your body because you're putting stuff in it and you're not forcing it to like do extra work to figure out what it is so that you can digest it. So I was like, okay, wow, this turns everything I thought I knew and turned it all around. I was like, wow, everything I've been doing is wrong. No wonder why I haven't been getting good results. No wonder why I was fixated on it. No wonder why I was looking for the next best thing. So ultimately, it started sort of in a backwards way of like, okay, I'm going to change my philosophy on food and what healthy is to just real food. And that changed my relationship to food because there were so many things I was avoiding, like, and, you know, types of food or even situations or people. But when you look at the world through the lens of real food, it just cracks everything open. Like there are so many more options and choices. And that's kind of when I got it, you know, got started into cooking. So I'm like, oh my God, you mean I can use butter? Like, you mean that that's a real food and I could have a whole avocado if I wanted? Like my mind was
blown,
you know?
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's so, you know, I kind of got chills when you said that you saw that Italian woman who was calm and present and laughing and enjoying her food, because I mean, not to sound weird, but that is exactly what I think of you in all of your beautiful photos and videos and everything. Those are the exact words I would use to describe you and while you're eating based on what I've seen. Calm and present and laughing and enjoying. That's just incredible that you saw that and you said, I'm going to make this my life. And it sounds like you've done just that.
Thank you.
It's so inspiring.
That is like awesome to hear. I've never really connected that.
You're her.
But yeah, that's been the goal. And then the goal to help other women do the same, because I think a lot of us are just not honest about having a great relationship to food. We just don't talk about it. It's sort of like still a weird thing. And I think there's just so much goodness that can come from just being more open or admitting that like maybe food takes up a little bit more of your brain space, your time, than is actually truly helpful and healthy for you.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. I mean, what is a good relationship to food in your opinion?
Mm-hmm. I think it's like we were saying, just the ability to be fully present and not guilty, not fixated on what you should be doing, not feeling bad because you're breaking the rules, right? It's more of like a conscious choice that you're choosing to have and enjoy things based on the fact that you love those things and they bring so much joy and enjoyment to your life. So that can't be with everything, right? Like then you wouldn't feel good.
Right.
You'd feel terrible. If you're like, I love ice cream, so I'm gonna have ice cream every single day. Like, sorry, you're not being in tune and connected. That's like a habit. That's different than sort of more intuitively and knowing yourself really well, right? Like mm-hmm. what I said in the beginning, to know what are those things that bring you so much joy and sort of light up your life. Those are the things to have and love and include, you know, when the time is right. And what I mean by the time is right is meaning in situations and times where you're actually experiencing it fully mm-hmm. instead of it being a crutch for covering up other emotions. Mm-hmm. So like wine, for example, you could be sitting at home on a Monday night and just drinking wine because it was a really hard day or you're stressed out or you're just, you know, binge watching Bravo TV mm-hmm. and like, that is such a different experience than being out with girlfriends or at book club or at dinner and you're like all enjoying wine and it just adds such another level of like ambiance and just sort of juiciness to the moment because you're actually enjoying every sip and it just elevates things versus trying to cover up a crappy day or trying to cover up stress. So there's a really big distinction between how you're using food and truly your body digests it so differently depending on where you are in your emotional state. And I think a lot of people don't realize that or recognize that the two are actually wildly connected.
Oh, they couldn't be more connected. I mean, I fell into healthy eating because I had terrible digestive issues, IBS, the whole thing. And I learned that stress and the way that you eat your food 100% affects how that food makes you feel. Because I would go through periods where, you know, I'd be able to eat an apple one day and then the next day I couldn't eat the apple. And the apple didn't change. My state of mind changed. I was stressed one day eating the apple. And it's crazy how interconnected they are. It's exciting though, because like with what you just said with the wine example, I think that is so perfect. I think that, we can allow ourselves to quote unquote, indulge or whatever, but not as a crutch. That's not the healthy way of doing it. But having a glass of wine when you're out with friends and you're really savoring every sip and you're fully present, I think that kind of is a great way to determine when or when not to quote unquote, indulge. Because I think a lot of people when they hear, you know, like, listen to your body, you know, they're like, okay, my body's telling me to eat a cheeseburger every night.
Right.
Like, I'm doing it. Like I'm listening to my body. And I think that can be really, really confusing for people.
Totally. I think you're right on. So yeah, I just feel like I wish we could just talk about these things more often. I guess that's what we're doing today.
Yeah.
But like that it was more common, I guess, on like a wider scale. And that's really what I'm trying to do with Simply Real Health is be like, hey, all these things are normal.
Yes.
So can we just like talk about it? And it makes it a little bit easier. And everybody goes through this. Everybody has thoughts like this and things that consume your life. They're not helpful and sort of can be misguiding and misdirecting. And so it's a way to like just clear out all the clutter, right? And all the noise and confusion and be like, no, what really matters is, you know, how your body does with a certain food. What's your emotional state? Like, is it a time and place and situation that is joyful or is it not?
Right.
Those can be just like three easy questions, you know, that you just stop and sort of check in with yourself instead of that more nebulous, like, how does your body feel?
Right. That can be really confusing.
Yeah.
And on the topic, you know, of guilt, I'm curious if you find that your clients and the audience tend to feel a lot of food guilt on a daily basis.
I think they do in the beginning, until they learn about what real food is and how much real food actually encompasses so many different types of things. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
And it's just so much more freeing when you're looking at it that way, instead of like, oh, here's my yes foods and here's my no foods. You know,
right.
it just changes your whole perspective.
Definitely. And I think that in addition to that, and this is kind of the same thing, that a lot of people think that healthy eating is a 100% or a 0% thing, you know, an all or nothing mm-hmm. thing. And mm-hmm. it's not. And I always say that our bodies are made to be able to handle some Cheetos too every once in a while.
Yeah.
It's your mm-hmm. most of the time that matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And so do you practice, you know, that same philosophy with helping people get past food guilt?
I do. Yeah. You know, what I tell people and I tell my clients is like, okay, so for whatever you want to have, there's a way to do it in a real food version. Mm. And when you decide to look at it that way, you know, it takes you know, a little bit more time to prepare, or you have to go out and drive somewhere that specifically has a better version of what you want. But that's not a bad thing necessarily.
It's empowering.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, I honestly think anything like pizza, macaroni and cheese, like ice cream, dessert, like there's a way to do anything that is like more traditionally like a junk food thing and turn it into, well, why don't you just have the real food version, it's going to taste better, your body will digest it better, like, and mentally, right, you're forcing yourself to not just be like, oh, whatever's easiest, because it's, I don't have to prepare anything or cook anything, right. Or that mentality can get you into trouble sometimes.
The easiest mentality.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Then after doing, you know, eating real food for a long time, that becomes what's easiest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you feel, and you notice just how you feel.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people, you know, if you're sort of on the outside of this looking in to be like, oh, it's so annoying. Like, I wish I could just crave healthy food, but I don't. Well, that's like an actual physiological, physical response is that when you get rid of a lot of the crap food and all the chemicals and the, you know, toxins and the dyes, like those do affect your body in so many ways. So once you clear those things out, it's true. Like you don't actually crave that stuff. And if you go back to having, you know, the Cheetos or Oreos or Cheez-Its or whatever your love used to be, it's going to taste like crap.
Oh,
like
yeah.
It's so salty. The flavor is not very good. It's too sweet. It's too much.
Ew.
It's not enjoyable. But there is like a, you know, there's like a 2-week time period where your taste buds have to clear out. And I think as long as you know that going into it and you know that like, yeah, maybe it won't taste great to be super healthy for like a week or two. But then after 14 days, like it totally changes the game.
Totally. I always say, you know, if you had to adjust your taste buds to like booze, right? So you can do it for mm-hmm. healthy foods.
I've never heard that. That's
my
great.
That's my motto, my slogan. So on the topic of real food and simply real food, what does real food mean to you?
Yeah, real food is just the most unprocessed version of the food. So it's the food that has existed since 1900 in the same like time. And I always tell my clients, I'm like, it's like you were living on the cast and on the set of Little House on the Prairie. Like literally, like think if you were one of those characters, like what could you make for dinner?
That's really
funny. You know, it's
That's
like just stuff that was like, you could grow, it came from the ground, or you could fish it, or it came from an animal, or, you know, and you could milk the animal and you get butter and cheese and yogurt and there's meat and, you know, grains and all of those things. If you, you know, think about it in that way, sometimes that's just a good check of like, did that stuff exist like back then?
I love that.
It or source it or find a neighbor that had it, then that's what real food is.
Find a neighbor that had it. I love that because it really puts an image in your mind because, you know, they always say like, is this something that your grandma would recognize? Well, I'm always like when they say that, you know, you hear that, I'm like, well, my grandma was from Ukraine. We had a huge language barrier. Like she probably wouldn't recognize most things. So it's a terrible example for me. And that's where my mind has always gone. But this Little House on the Prairie is hilarious because you can actually put yourself in your mind in the set and be like in a kitchen and think, okay, I could have had rice here, brown rice. Mm-hmm. I could have had kale, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and just the visual. You get like the full outfits. You're like, what are you wearing? Like, like where would I sleep? Yeah,
it's kind that's of just really funny. That's funny. So for you, you eat all real food. So that means you eat all dairy and all meat and all grains?
So so that's what I teach is I teach people like all of the categories of real food and there's 12 of them. Oh. And from there, once 12. You make, that's the first step. The first transition is just all real food. It 12. Doesn't, I don't even care like which categories they come out of at first. For some people, if it's a big change, I'm like, I just care about if it's real food. Is it simple, normal, natural? Does it have like, is it a one word ingredient? Is it something that like a 5-year-old could recognize?
Oh, those like, are the categories? Because I'm like, what are 12? Can you shoot out the 12?
Yeah, that's 12 categories of food itself. So it would be fruit and vegetables, nuts, seeds, beans and legumes. There's eggs, there's dairy, there's poultry, there's meat, there's seafood, there's grains.
I'm not counting, good, healthy fats. I don't know, you might have hit 12. No.
Grains, good, healthy fats, and then like naturally occurring sweeteners.
Sweet. So like
those are the 12.
All right, and that makes sense.
Yeah, within each of those 12 counted. Categories, there's like, you know, you could have like 35 different types of beans and you know, because hummus right. is made with a garbanzo bean, then hummus would be in the bean category. Mm-hmm. So it's not that there's only 12 foods you can eat. Yeah, some people panic. They're like, oh my God, 12 foods. 12?
No, there's like a million forms of even avocado.
So what I like teach is like teaching all about the best cat. I'm like, okay, how do you know, like, what are the best and healthiest kinds of beans? And how do you know? And how do you find that on the label? And how do you tell, like looking at hummus, which one would be real food and which one is not? And then once I kind of like get that down, then it becomes, you know, so much easier to start to tell how your body is doing with certain categories of food. So it's not a one size fits all, but yes, everybody does better eating from real food. Totally. All across the board.
Oh yeah.
And then step two is like starting to pay attention like, oh, how do I feel when I have meat? Do I feel really good and grounded and energized, or do I feel crappy and my digestion's terrible and it's bloated? And when I have grains, do I feel energized or do I feel more tired? Mm-hmm. Or with dairy, do I have eczema? Am I always like getting sick? Am I bloating? Like, so I think that comes step two. And I think a lot of people make the mistake of just trying to just eliminate things before they make that full transition to real food across the board.
That's smart.
It makes it more confusing
when you
go that backwards from like 2 to 1 instead of 1 to 2. Because truly, the more you're eating real food, the more your blood sugar just naturally stables out and becomes so much more steady and even so that you can actually tell how you feel with certain foods. And it's not just because you have a blood sugar crash or, you know, other things going on that may sort of get in the way of telling.
That's great. I like that. I've never thought about, you know, that before. I'm more, you know, just eat more plants and phase out the crap. But I guess that's the same approach, right? You're saying just eat more real foods and phase out the crap.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Same page again. So in that sense, what to you is healthy eating not? You know, I was curious when you were saying about hummus, how you teach people to look at different hummuses or hummi and, and like you can identify which hummus is not the healthy option. So how do you identify in something like hummus and what is not real food for you?
Mm-hmm. So not real food would be ingredients you can't pronounce. Or super long, complicated lists of ingredients, basically. Mm-hmm. I teach all of my clients to basically cover up the nutrition facts because I don't think it matters and right. It's not helpful and actually encourages a much more negative relationship to food. But to always look at the ingredients because that's the one thing that's going to tell if it is actually real food or if it's just being marketed to you as real food.
Totes.
So. Same thing applies, like with any category, anything in the store, whether it's the hummus section or the salsa section or even like sausage or, you know, you just want the most clean, simple, pure, natural, like food without things, because all the things you can't pronounce are chemicals. Mm-hmm. They're man-made. They don't occur anywhere in nature. And those are the things that like really mess you up on a hormone level, on a blood sugar level, a digestive level. That's the stuff that's not real food.
Right. Every level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every level. Skin mentally, level. Everything. Emotionally. Yeah. Sleepily. Mm-hmm. Weightfully. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I love how you say that there's just as much to unlearn about food as there really is to learn, right? Mm-hmm. So what are some common things that you need to kind of unteach people when you first start working with them?
Oh, yeah. There's so much.
So interesting.
I think most of us walk around with like these little voices in our head that like pop up out of nowhere. So like if you're at the grocery store and you're like walking down the cereal aisle and all of a sudden you'll get these little pings, like little hits of like voices that are like, ooh, high fiber. Ooh, this one's organic. Ooh, this one's gluten-free.
So we're all schizophrenic.
And somewhere it goes off in your brain that like, ooh, that's a thing I need. Mm. Ooh, I've heard that somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I picked that up from this, you know, right. magazine or listening to that. And we store so like much random information in our brains, but we never actually stop and think like, does that make sense? So you could be like walking around with such antiquated information about food. So little things like, you know, back in the 90s, how it, like we're talking about, like everything was fat free. Mm-hmm. So most people automatically, they still, all their milk they buy is fat free and right. their yogurt they buy is fat free, even though the process of going fat free means that there was like a man-made intervention. From its original state,
yes.
from the cow is
like
full
that.
Of milk.
Intervention. That's
and then,
smart.
You know, but I think a lot of it is just like the diet world and the marketing world. And there's really no check that we have in our, like in this country, really, about how we learn about food from the start. So we just never grew up with the basic information about like, here's what real food is. Here's what healthy food is. We grow up with, oh, here's the food pyramid, which, you know, like it changes every 2 years, first of all. Yeah. And second of all, it's usually based on what industries are funded by the government. And,
right.
you know, so it's like not necessarily a truthful way, but because we never learned that foundation, I think most of us, especially in our generation, walk around like with these random like tidbits of information that don't make sense, that are really, really old and are not really true. So a lot of it is like clearing out all that old stuff and just making way for like, no, none of that matters. No, it doesn't matter if this Larabar has 12 grams of sugar because it's from real fruit,
right?
And there's three ingredients. Your body will be able to digest that so much better than like, you know, my old faves, like the Balance Bar, which had 1 gram of sugar, but it's because there was just so much crap and chemicals and other things in there.
Yeah.
So I think we just need a little like clearing and dumping out of all the garbage. And sometimes it's just a matter of like, hey, just forget everything you think you know about food. Let's just start over. Let's just make it really clear, really easy. You can, you know, a way to tell and pick out food if you're at a restaurant, if you're at the store, if you're at other people's houses, if you're traveling, whatever, a way that makes it really simple, really easy to have just like a better baseline, to know what you're doing and picking and why.
Totally. I mean, it's all about the ingredients is essentially what you're mm-hmm. saying. I mean, the unlearning is essentially forget about anything other than just caring about the ingredients on the label or in the dish, you know, like, and it's a little freaky because I feel like, you know, the diet world, quote unquote, is so intertwined right now with the health world.
Yes.
And I think that can really throw people astray.
Yeah, I think so too. And it does. So it's getting clear, just like re-educating, you know, our generations and the younger ones and definitely the older generations too, because they got caught up in the time period where diets were starting to be a thing. And, you know, 100 years ago, that was not a thing. There was no diets. It's really only in the last 50 years that things have shifted in that way. And marketing has shifted in that way. So a lot of it is just more unwinding than adding more things on to think about.
Which is so nice.
It's really freeing.
It's simple. It's real. It's health.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. So I feel like you're really big on entertaining, right? Like you're a dinner party thrower, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any tips on throwing a great dinner party? Because I, you know, when we moved into our apartment here in Brooklyn, we have a huge kitchen and we moved in and I'm like, we're going to have dinner parties all the time. And I was so stoked. And now 2 years have gone by and we've had zero dinner parties. We've had two Friendsgiving parties, but I've had experiences where I'm so insecure about the healthy food that I make. So I'll have my boyfriend run out and get like a brisket from like a famous brisket place. Or like last year I got vegan donuts because I'm like, no one's going to want my vegan gluten-free cookies. Like I'll get donuts because I'm so insecure. And I just make my little lentil loaf and my kale salad for myself and not serve it to anyone. So do you have any tips on throwing a good dinner party?
No, there is sort of like a, like some art behind it, I guess. And I think probably generally is a good rule is like one, just like keep it really simple. Just there's no need to go over the top and have every little thing thought about and be catering to every single person that comes. Mm-hmm. Like you just want to keep it the most simple as possible. And it's truly like, that's what people want. Like people just want like simple, good, just like comfort food, you know, that's not complicated. They're not expecting you to like throw this like 7-course meal with all these intricate details and different timing and keeping things hot and cold. So my first, like thing that I always do is just like, okay, pick one thing and it's going to be a make ahead thing. Usually it's like a one pot something, or even sometimes it's a crock pot. And then you just set out a toppings bar. So you could do this for like soup. You could do this for tacos. You could do this for, you know, different curries and like a curry bar. And it just makes it more interactive and fun and playful because I don't know about you, but if you go to like a dinner party where it is like the table set and it's like almost like very serious.
Yeah.
Because the host has put in so much time and effort and it's like a little stressful to be a guest in that situation. Cause you're like, oh my God, thank you so much. Oh, you bought all this food and you're feeding us and you're working so hard. Now you're doing dishes and it's like stressful for everybody. So I'm like, can we just stop that? Like make it mostly ahead of time, have something that's like, you know, a salad or side of veggies and like a two fun sauces, maybe even buy one out and just make it more like a build your own situation. And people are always happy with that. And if you do it, make ahead, then you're not stressed the day of. So then you can clean and you can get ready and you can actually relax and enjoy the experience instead of it being like this production. So I think just like taking the pressure off of what you define as a dinner party or having people over or just entertaining because nobody really wants fancy. If they wanted that, they would go out to eat.
Right. You're so right. What's your go-to like make ahead dish for a dinner party?
Yeah. So in my cookbook, I have 150 different recipes and the biggest section in the book is the make ahead section. And
awesome.
Like there's a whole like soup section and then there's a whole entrees and most of them are also in that category of make ahead or like most of the things make ahead. So truly like I joke about this, but I'm like, I wrote the cookbook because they're all my favorite recipes, the ones that I use most often. And I just wanted to have it conveniently on my shelf so that I could look, you know,
that's like really funny.
But it's true. I use that book daily and I don't really use cookbooks because I just get too like impatient. I'm kind of a lazy. So, that's truly like where every dinner recipe like that I make, I have like a butternut squash curry recipe that you can add salmon to, or you just have it all veggie. And, I have an amazing like pesto kale salad that is, you know, uses nutritional yeast and like basil and cashews. And it's like people like I've had like husbands who've never eat, you know, they've never had kale before. They think they hate it and they like eat the entire bowl.
That's awesome.
So just little things that like, it doesn't have to be the food that people think of it as healthy, but that actually is.
Yeah.
Because it's
a secret.
Yeah.
Like my black bean brownies are what I always do for that.
Yes, exactly.
You sneak attack them. When they're leaving, you're like, by the way, those were made with beans, baby. Yeah. I really want your book. Is it just available on Amazon, or where else can people get it?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. That's honestly, it's the biggest.
I want it so badly. I'm going to get it.
It's on Amazon Prime too. Yeah, it's just called The Simply Real Health Cookbook. And I just placed my third print round last week, which is amazing. Awesome. So it's been a huge help for busy people. It's 5 ingredients or less, 10 to 15 minutes or less, tons of vegetables, like interesting different ways to eat vegetables. And there's some fish in there and some meat in there, but for the most part, it's just, here's all real food. The whole book is naturally gluten-free. And then I have like little icons on every recipe of like, this is dairy-free, or this is vegan, this is vegetarian. And so it's, most of the recipes are all of those things.
Yeah.
You just never think to label it as such.
Yeah. That's awesome. Did you self-publish it?
I did. Yeah.
That's cool. That's amazing. Yeah. Good for you.
Thanks.
And I'm sure it's beautiful.
It is.
Because everything you do is beautiful, and your Instagram is beautiful. And I honestly think your Instagram is one of the most inspiring Instagram accounts out there, because I don't know, there's just something about your like bright, smiley, peaceful photos. Like I was saying before, you're just always like calm and present and laughing. And it just makes me think you're just like the happiest plant eating lady in Seattle. I'm wondering, like, do you have any specific Zen rituals that keep you so grounded? Because I'm like buzzing all over the place. Like I'm a crazy person and I just need a sip from your organic Kool-Aid.
I think a lot of it obviously starts with the food piece of like, my blood sugar is not crazy and all over the place. And I'm pretty in tune with my emotions. And I know that if I'm stressed or if I'm worried or anxious, like that food isn't really going to solve that piece of it. Mm-hmm. So, I think as we were talking about in the beginning, like I really just try to practice exactly what I preach, which is in all those categories, like all of the categories that I consider to be having a healthy life, is like to be grounded in all of those things. And sometimes you need a little bit more on the physical side, and sometimes you need a little bit more support on the mental side or the emotional side. And self-care to me, even though I hate the word and the image that it like,
I just think of a bath.
Yeah, I think it's truly that of like honoring whatever I need in that moment, in that day, and not feeling guilty about it. Because I know if I take care of that, then everything else falls into place and it's so much easier. And the first baseline of how you do that every day and making that decision multiple times a day is with whatever you're putting in your body to eat. And then it makes everything else, I think, just flow a little bit better and more calmly and more thoughtfully, where it's not just panic and stress and like all these different things and a million different thoughts and a million different directions. I think that has a way, it's like your mentality with your health, I think, permeates the rest of your life, whether you want it to or not.
That's deep, man. That's deep, but it's true. You have a real food diet and you're really grounded. And it's really great. So speaking of great, you drink alcohol like me. That's another place where we're doppelgangers, for lack of a better word. What is your go-to healthy homemade boozy drink?
Oh my gosh. I literally, like, I've been like joking with people. I'm like, I think my next cookbook is going to be all like healthy cocktails.
I think it is too, like, because you're always posting cocktails.
I always like, and I have to be careful on my Instagram feed of like actually posting food, of like food pictures. So I'm like a beverage freak.
What
like,
are you I trying have, to tell us
right now? And like, of course, I'm like, right now I have like peppermint tea. I have water, sparkling water, and bone broth literally surrounding my computer right now. Yes.
You must pee a ton.
I'm like really into like the beverages, which is hilarious because when I used to think that I was so healthy and fixated on, you know, more of the diet food, I would only drink water. I wouldn't even drink milk. I would never drink alcohol. Never. So I was like, whoa, wasted calories. Oh. And now that's, I feel like I like live on a liquid diet sometimes. Just because I love it, you know, like right. My bone diet, like butter blended into it. Sorry, off topic.
No, it's on topic.
I feel like every day, I don't have alcohol every day, but like every day I make some sort of mocktail or drink like around like 4 or 5 o'clock, depending on the day.
So fun.
And most weekdays it's not. And I think that's the whole, I'm like, it doesn't always have to be alcohol in it. It's the act and the process and the ritual of creating something that's beautiful that, you know, sort of powers me through and gives me a little boost in that last like hour or two of my workday when I'm like still have a million emails and want it to feel special and want to feel like I'm not working.
That's so
late.
Nice. I love that. Yeah.
So, every day is a little different, but I love to like, I think the act of garnishing something is really important. Like I keep berries and I'll have mint around or basil or, serving it in like a fun glass. So I have like a lot of fun glasses from like Goodwill and like old time cocktail glasses. I'll do like little kombucha spritzes and I love Aperol spritzes like Campari and soda water. All the like bitters and digestifs and aperitifs are really fun to play with. And then, you know, my favorite probably like go-to if I'm on vacation or like around a trip with friends is like always just a healthy margarita. It's like my fave and it's so easy.
What do you order for that? What's a healthy margarita?
Usually, it's usually called a skinny margarita, which is unfortunate, but
you sound like such an ass ordering that. No. Can I have a skinny margarita? Like you just sound like you're just like on Weight Watchers.
Yes, exactly. I know. And I hate it, but I'm like, sometimes in certain restaurants, you like, you know that that's what the bartender knows it at. So you just suck it up and go for it. But it's just tequila, club soda, lime juice. And some people like it with a little bit of Contro, which is an orange liquor. So no added sugar, no mixes, and way, way, way less sugar than you would typically get.
Totally.
But yeah, anything with lime in it, I'm like big time fan.
Nice. Lime's great.
Mm-hmm. Or rosé, if I'm going wine.
Rosé is great too.
One for every category. I'm like, wine, I like this.
Do you drink cider, hard cider or beer?
No, I don't. So I don't do beer because I'm gluten-free. Mm-hmm. And cider is usually too sweet for me.
Yeah, I'll always, just if I get cider, I'll just say, can I just have the least sweet cider? And they'll usually bring me a taste and then I can taste if it's like apple juice or not. And if it's not, I go for it.
Yes.
If I'm at like a beer garden, not just like at a, like normally.
Yes. And I know like Corona is gluten free, but I don't, I haven't gotten far enough down the road to want to really test it.
I don't drink beer. Yeah.
Yeah. I usually prefer rosé.
It just like sits there in your stomach. You can taste it like 3 days later.
Yeah, so maybe I don't even need to try.
No, I think you're good without that. I don't think they'd have that on Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, no Corona.
Maybe Little House on the Beach Prairie. Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So you also have made yerba mate lattes, I saw. I don't know much about that. I'm a matcha latte-aholic, but tell me about the yerba.
Yeah, so yerba mate is another tea, so it's just a different plant, and it's grown usually in South America in the rainforest, but it has these sort of, like matcha, has this sort of amazing property to help you feel calm and grounded, but also super energized. And it does have caffeine, but not as much as coffee. So it has that, matcha's the same way. Like it lifts you up and like kind of helps you focus, but you're not jittery and panicky. So yerba mate is just another option. And you can buy it in loose leaf form, like Whole Foods has it. I think Rainforest Eco is like the most common brand. And I just brew it in my French press. So I just get the loose leaf tea, do like 1 or 2 teaspoons, and then pour it with water. And then I have kind of like a big batch for the week. So I just keep it in a mason jar and warm it up as I want to, you know, with my millions of beverages.
Yeah.
So then once you have the tea brewed, you can turn it into any type of latte. So if you want to add almond milk or if you want to add real milk, and just heat it up and blend it. Some people like a little bit of honey or maple syrup, but that's pretty much it. It's pretty simple and it gives you awesome energy.
That's awesome. I've only ever bought yerba mate in tea bags.
Yeah, and so, you could do that too. Yeah. The loose leaf tea tends to be a little bit like stronger, yeah. I think, and tastes a little bit better. But I know like Trader Joe's out here has like yerba mate tea bags. So that could be a good thing to start with. It's pretty mild.
Yeah.
The taste.
Doesn't really taste like anything.
Right.
Unlike matcha, which has a big taste.
Yes, very the strong. Basket.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yes. Okay, well, before I let you go, I have a few final fun personal questions for you.
Okay.
Ready. First, I'd love to know if you have a favorite plant party restaurant, which just means a heavy vegetable-focused restaurant.
Yeah, in Seattle.
Yeah, just like where do you go to get like real food?
Yeah, in Seattle, there's actually two places who I think do vegetables like amazingly well. One is this restaurant called Terra Plata, and then one is a restaurant called London Plain. So if you get in there in different parts of the city, if you ever come to Seattle, going either one of those two places, they have just amazing, creative, inventive, like beautifully done and plated seasonal vegetables. That's awesome. And that's a huge, huge part of their menu.
Yeah, that's amazing. All right. Those sound great. What's your favorite plant to eat?
Ooh, because I'm lazy, it's probably kale because I can do like 19 different things with it. So it never goes bad.
Ooh. Name some of your favorite ways to do stuff with it.
Yes. Well, you can like put it in a smoothie. You can like saute it and add it to anything, like into meatballs or into a stir fry. You can have it cold and like massage it and it's a salad. Mm-hmm. You can make it into a pesto.
15 and more ways.
Yeah. And then. You're like, I'm counting.
I'm literally counting. You're at four.
You could juice it. A lot of those things, like if I find them, it's going bad or we're going to go out of town for the weekend, is like, okay, just blend it. So I'll blend like kale and a little bit of garlic and olive oil and make a sauce or like a pesto of some sort and then freeze it in silicone ice cube trays. And then you have these little individual servings of sauce. So if you have like plain quinoa one night and you're like, I don't have time to go to the store. Like, it's just nice to have a bunch of different sauces and things that they're not going bad. They're not going to waste, but they can sit in the freezer forever.
That is brilliant. Literally last night I had plain quinoa and I'm not joking. I put ketchup on it. I was out of food. I made frozen broccoli, frozen edamame, frozen peas, a sweet potato, quinoa, and ketchup.
There you go. So you need that.
I could really use that. That's so smart. And I'm really embarrassed. I know ketchup's not real food, but don't judge.
There are versions of it. There's versions of everything that's real food.
It's true.
Just would be the kind that's like, doesn't have high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, so. Yeah. I don't buy that crap.
Yes. That's real food.
F that. That's funny. All right. Well, that was only like 6 ways. So you owe me 13 more at a later date.
Okay.
What's your most used kitchen tool?
Vitamix. Hands down.
Easy.
Every day, multiple times a day.
Ooh. For your cocktail. Well, you do make a lot of drinks.
Cocktails, I know. Bone broth, smoothies, tea, lattes. The works.
It gets soup.
Yeah.
It's funny.
It takes quite the beating.
Is there an amazing book that's really inspired you in some awesome way besides your own?
I'm like a crazy reader and a crazy podcaster. I like binge on podcasts.
Ooh, name
and
some
like
podcasts.
Audible books.
Okay. Well, there are some great podcasts besides this one.
Besides this one, one of my favorites is The Model Health Show.
Uh-huh. With Sean Stevenson. Yes. He's amazing. His voice is the best thing I've ever heard.
Best.
It's so sexy.
And I just enjoy that I'm like, he's so real. You can tell exactly how he is in real life. Yeah. And
it's a great one.
I've spoken to him on the phone before. And it's like exactly the same. I'm like, oh my God, this is so weird.
But he's a great show. Yeah.
He's awesome. And let's see, some of my other faves are, I love like Bulletproof Radio and I love all the health. I'm really just anything like health or business related. I'm like all about it. Mm-hmm. I found this other girl's podcast lately. It's called the Goal Digger Podcast. with Jenna Kutcher. And it's just a great, like, not on the topic of health, but just like business and life goals. And she was a photographer and now she's like kind of transitioned into business coaching. And I don't know, I really enjoy, same thing, genuine, like real, fun to listen to. You learn a lot every time.
That's great.
Okay.
What about a book?
Books. I'm like having a brain panic on books right now. What am I even reading?
Don't panic. Stay grounded.
I know.
This is the last question, so we can't end on a cliffhanger.
Oh my gosh. You know what I'm reading right now again?
What?
That I am adoring again is Big Magic.
Oh, okay. That's gotten recommended a lot.
Yeah. I read it when it first came out and I didn't really fully like maybe understand or just like it wasn't the right time. Mm-hmm. And I think I put it down like halfway through and this time I'm reading it and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is brilliant. Like this is so good. And that's her writing is beautiful. Another person whose writing I just adore, and it's a little bit more on the spiritual side. I mean, we were talking about Gabby Bernstein before. Like, yeah. I'm like number one fangirl of all her books.
I'm the number one fangirl.
She's amazing. So anything she does, I'm obsessed with. But I also, in the spiritual realm, on a much different side, is Shauna Nyquist. So she writes Cold Tangerines, and she's written Bread and Wine, and she does a lot more just like relationships around food. So like family and with kids and, you know, hosting dinner parties and just the role that food plays in our life.
Cool.
And she just has beautiful writing and the way she explains things is so, it just like paints these words that kind of like dance in your head.
Wow.
And I really, adore everything that she writes. I find myself, her and Gabby, same thing. I find myself like, okay, just a little bit, because you want to treasure this book. You don't want it to end too fast. You just want to keep going. So those are some things that I think, you know, running your own business, it requires a lot of ways to continually lift yourself up and to, you know, feed all of those different areas of your own health and your own soul and your life and spirituality and mentality. And that's really where that's most of the content that I consume comes in those spaces.
Cool. All right. Well, finally, where can everyone go to learn more about you and join one of your amazing offerings? And tell us about some of your amazing offerings, because you have a lot.
There's a lot going on over here.
Yeah.
My business is Simply Real Health. So simplyrealhealth.com. And I'm at Simply Real Health on Instagram and Facebook. You can find me there. And program-wise, so I work with clients one-on-one. I run a group program once or twice a year. And there's that option. You can sign up for the wait list. I do seasonal meal plans. So every quarter I write meal plans that essentially help you cook under 3 hours a week, trying new foods, new recipes, things that are in season, tons of like vegetables and different ways to make them just to get your creative juices flowing. And then again, under 3 hours a week, you go to the grocery store once. So that's every season. And then I also have a program I call the Food Academy, which is a lot of what, you know, we were talking about today about the basics of real food,
right?
Of like that general education of what is real food? How do you find it? How do you know what it is? Like, learning that education. It's a 3-week program. It's all online. So that one's called the Food Academy. There's lots of different options for people who are in different parts of the journey of getting to, you know, a healthier life, from the very basics of education to more, you know, the prepping and the cooking and how do you coordinate it all. There's the meal plan. Yeah. There's the cookbook.
It's awesome.
Recipes. And then, you know, one-on-one coaching and the group coaching and all of those other things.
You hit it from every angle.
Yeah.
Killing it. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It has been so much fun talking to you today.
Yes. So fun. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Thank you so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I hope you're feeling comfortable moving to the land of gray instead of staying in the town of black and white. I wholeheartedly agree with everything Sarah said in this episode. Being extreme with food is extremely not necessary. And hey, if it takes you a trip to Italy to really hit this concept home, then for Pete's sake, please bring me. For a recap of everything awesome that was said during this conversation, plus lots more stuff that take the hell out of healthy eating, swing your digital self by partyinmyplants.com/41.